a number of the governors that were most restrictive in their approach to the pandemic seem to be having some difficulties now in the aftermath of it all. Governor Cuomo in New York, of course, being investigated for his handling of the nursing home situation there. Governor Newsom in California facing recall. And in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer also having a lot of questions about how she handled the nursing home situation. But in the last couple of days, the real focus has turned to her former Director of Health and Human Services, Robert Gordon, who was released right at the end of January without much explanation. It was just learned that he is being paid $155,506 of taxpayer money as a golden parachute of sorts. And we've now learned that one of his deputies also getting a payment. The other part of it is a non-disclosure agreement, not allowing them to discuss why they left or what went on. Joining me is Chad Livengood from Cranes Detroit. He's been watching and following and reporting on this story quite closely. Chad, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So tell me, what is the latest? I mean, this story seems to be developing quite quickly. I know that I saw the governor bristle, if you will, when asked by another reporter about whether or not this was hush money. And she didn't like that question at all. What's the latest?
So as this sort of unfolded yesterday, as we learned that not just Robert Gordon, but one of his deputies, Sarah Etsy, also got a separation agreement where she got 1 month pay. She was placed on a paid administrative leave for a month after he left. As sort of a way out the door, rather than just a direct firing. And so she got to resign and get 1 month's pay. Robert Gordon gets 9 months' pay at $155,000. And then it got me and other reporters wondering, well, who else might have gotten severance agreements? I talked to six different former Whitmer administration officials who have left the administration since the beginning. None of them said they had separation agreements. But then when I inquired to the Department of Labor in Michigan to ask about Steve Gray, the former director of the Unemployment Insurance Agency, who abruptly resigned on November 5th after months of turmoil in his department and their handling of fraud claims and also just their handling of the massive surge of a million people who filed for unemployment at the end of March last year, as the governor had shut down vast swaths of the economy. And so when it took a couple hours, but finally the department said, yes, there is a severance agreement, but you're going to need to file a Freedom of Information Act request for it. So I did that, and kind of surprisingly, at 8 p.m. last night, the department released that that document and showed that Steve Gray was compensated for about $85,000 for what they described as the duration of a contract through June 1st. So about 9,000 of it went to pay a lawyer for some reason, and the rest of it, about $76,000, Steve was able to.
But let me ask you this, Chad, because we talked about this a bit yesterday, you and I. This is not normal. This is not normal. When you leave state government, you don't get a golden parachute of $85,000 or $155,000. If what you're telling me, the guy running the unemployment department, another connection to the pandemic and problems because Michigan unemployment was a mess when all those people were trying to apply last year. Another failure connected to the pandemic, if you will, of state government and people getting a check and a non-disclosure agreement. I mean, this is not normal.
The non-disclosure agreement part of it is really the most exceedingly rare part of this. There's never been, no one can remember in state government where these kind of sums of money were paid. I mean, people get paid their unpaid health or their unpaid vacation days.
Right.
If they have 2 weeks of vacation, they'll get a payout for that. That's pretty common, public and private sector. But not getting paid for getting paid for the next 6 to 9 months for not working.
That's exactly right. So here's what I want to do. Hold on. I want to play the governor responding to that question from another reporter yesterday. Byte 11, if you will, New York. I want to go to Byte 11 and play this. And Chad, I want you to listen to this because her answer doesn't really line up with what you just said. Go.
Why did you have to give Mr. Gordon any money in the first place? And the Republicans allege that this is hush money.
Tim, you know, I've explained the nature of a separation agreement. We have been through a lot over the last year. It has taken a toll. The former director resigned. I accepted it, and we're continuing to move forward because we've got a lot of tough work to do.
Was it hush money?
Tim, you know, I really bristle at that characterization. It is the nature of a separation agreement when someone in a leadership position leaves is that, there are terms to it, and you can't, you know, share every term to it. And that's simply what it is.
So what she's saying, Chad, is this is perfectly normal, but I know you've looked back at the previous administration in Michigan under Governor Rick Snyder. Wasn't normal then. Wasn't normal with the six other former officials that you spoke with that weren't apparently directly involved with the pandemic and problems that face Michigan residents. And for the taxpayer to pick up the bill for these individuals, I think that's, well, the optics are terrible at a minimum. What do you say?
Yeah, one thing that kind of learning, though, is that there have been separation agreements and payments made in the legislature, particularly in the state Senate. I've got a couple sources who filled me in on a few of these things. They're confidential, where staffers basically are given a sum of money to go away because a senator wants their chief of staff replaced, essentially. So the governor might be speaking from that, from her experience in the state Senate. We don't know more. I'm not familiar if she's been involved in any of these things in the state Senate, but I think we're going to be looking into a bunch of that, those kind of things now, to understand it, because, yeah, this is just not normal for a political appointee jobs in state government, which is
right.
What these agency directors are.
So let me ask you the other thing. We got about a minute and a half here, Chad, and I know you're on your way to start digging again today, which we appreciate, but the last thing that I still don't know that we have accurate numbers on are the nursing home numbers. Michigan's nursing home deaths seem remarkably low percentage-wise compared to states around us, including Minnesota, Wisconsin, and others. They seem remarkably low compared to what we know that happened in New York. Do you think we've gotten full disclosure from this administration how many people actually died in nursing homes, long-term care facilities, and the like? I'll give you the last word.
I have not done a comparison of other states, but, I mean, last I checked, it was 20% of our deaths, and the nursing home population or the nursing home cases were about 7%. And so it's an outsized number of deaths for sure as it relates to just the overall infections in Michigan.
Well, there you go, and we're going to keep an eye on it. Chad, live and good from Cranes, Detroit. Always appreciate your help, Chad. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
There you have it. And the problems, like I say, facing these Democrat governors, whether it's Whitmer in Michigan, Cuomo in New York, Newsom in California, Wolf in Pennsylvania, and, of course, Murphy in New Jersey. Those are the five governors that made declarations ordering COVID-positive patients into long-term care facilities and nursing homes that had very bad outcomes. We're not going to let it go anywhere. We're going to keep following it right here every single day until we get the answers that we are satisfied with, not just the ones that they provide. Quick break on the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes, or high blood pressure, you are at risk. MyPureHealth Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With MyPureHealth Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. MyPureHealth Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
No matter where you are in life, here's a question to consider. Do you have the right financial advisor to help you navigate where you want to go? An Ameriprise advisor will take the time to truly understand what's important to you and help you prepare for whatever life brings, both the expected and the unexpected, by providing personalized advice based on your goals and needs, and regular reviews along with digital tools to help you stay on track. With an Ameriprise advisor, you can feel more confident, connected, and in control of your financial life. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor, Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.